Director, let me go back to where Mr. Bishop was. Tell me about the drone. You act like you wanted to fill us in on that. Fill us in.
So we have recovered a drone that the shooter appears to have used. It's being exploited and analyzed by the FBI lab. The drone was recovered in his vehicle. So at the time of the shooting, the drone was in his vehicle with the controller. In addition, our investigation has uncovered...
Do you know what time of day he flew it and if he flew it on the day of the shot?
To, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So in addition, it appears that around... 3:50 p.m., 4 o'clock in that window, on the day of the shooting, that the shooter was flying the drone around the area.
2 hours.
About 11 minutes. I want to be clear, but when I say the area, not over the stage and that part of the area itself, but I would say about 200 yards, give or take, away.
Okay.
From that, we think, but we do not know. So again, this is one of these things that's qualified because of our ongoing review, that he was live streaming, you know, viewing the footage from that, again, about 11 minutes in around the 3:50, 4 o'clock p.m. range.
2 hours before he's flying a drone in the vicinity of the route.
About 200 yards away. Yeah.
So that's the question that I had asked of Jim Jordan yesterday when he was on the program, because there was that discussion of the drone, you know, the drone that this killer was like flying above this rally area like 2 hours before, because the airspace that they have is, it's the airspace that they have is locked down like pretty significantly for a pretty significant period beforehand, and it's just really bizarre that. I mean, people fly kites. I mean, you can't even fly a kite. You can't do anything. I mean, when I say the airspace is locked down, I mean, they lock literally everything down. And it's just so weird that here it is, 2 hours. And like I said, we had Jim Jordan on yesterday to talk about this. 2 hours, literally 2 hours before this dude is he's flying this drone and... this whole airspace is apparently wide open. And if you missed that interview, it's up on YouTube. In fact, if you get the newsletter, Lorraine's got a piece out right now. It's the latest regarding this, the ongoing hearing, these hearings that you're listening to today. And we've been following them this entire time. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. It's the first hour. We're starting with the first hour, dealing with a little bit of a ear monitor issue here, but we're getting it fixed out. So, welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this first hour. And you can listen coast to coast, Channel 347 DirecTV as well. And the hearing on this, and like I said, I've got a million questions about this because this was, I just think it's incredibly important to understand why it was that none of this was apparently done. Like, who's advancing this area? Who's advancing any and all of this? That's the giant question. Good grief. 2 hours before, and this guy's got, you know, he's got this drone set up. 2 hours before, he's got a drone set up. Anyone else find that weird that just wasn't considered, you know, that wasn't a consideration apparently for, I guess, Secret Service or whatever? I don't even know. So that's, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to try to figure out here as these hearings go on. And that's what they're dealing with right now. So we got a lot to hit today because we've got the latest with these hearings. It's Ray who's testifying now. And that was Jim Jordan that you heard just speaking just then. He is with the House Judiciary Committee. House Oversight's also been involved in all of this stuff. And so they've been, you know, asking these questions, trying to figure out what the hell is going on here. What is happening with this, you know, we got to have some questions because I feel really uncomfortable about anybody actually being protected by Secret Service at this point. Kane, I don't feel like I'm not wrong with that. No. I feel like that's a pretty,
yeah.
I mean, do you feel comfortable? Hell, I don't even know that I would want them to protect me at all at this point. I mean, and I understand that the people on the ground, those were, you know, those were the people on the stage, I should say, because the others were U.S. Marshals. I get it. You know, I know that there's a lot of consternation, et cetera, there. But, you know, by and large, I mean, this is a weird, it's just a weird, the whole damn thing is weird. And I've got a million questions about this. So this is one of the things we're going to be following, because the hearing's ongoing now and there's still just like some really good points coming out of it that we're going to take. Also, this is what we have on deck just for the first part of the show. The media. I'm telling you what, this is pretty unbelievable. The media with the headlines that they are coming out with, for instance, Kamala Harris makes Donald Trump do the one thing he fears most, get up and get out. Wait until you hear some of these. I mean, I told you it was going to be a PR offensive. And, you know, even expecting that, you know, it's going to be ridiculous. But to see it happen in real time is still kind of infuriating, because they dislike this woman so much. You know, she barely, I told you she was last. She was behind Poop Booty Juice in the Democrat primary. You know that she was literally last place, right? Like last place. She barely pulled 1%. In the Democrat primary. They don't like her. So now they're going to act like she's the best thing ever. She's just the best thing ever. The media is going absolutely over time trying to rehabilitate her image and rewrite her history. And like they had said too previously, they had said where as it relates to the whole border czar issue. You guys are... Where did border czar come from? Remember that?
Oh, man, that was the Obama administration, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, just with Kamala Harris.
That was the first time, though, I heard that term used in government, like American government regularly, was during the Obama administration.
And then as an actual position.
Right.
We heard it from, actually, we heard it from Joe Biden, because Axios Media is trying to say that it was the right and the Trump camp that started calling Kamala Harris the border czar. That she has never before been called the border czar until Trump. And they're really mad and they're trying to make a big deal about them calling, about Kamala Harris being referred to as the border czar. It's one of the stupidest damn things I've ever heard. And that's what they're running with. It was a big piece at Axios. It was a big, I mean, it's just everywhere. It's all over. Punchbowl News, everybody, all of them. Can you believe that they're calling her the border czar? But, and I believe we have some flashback audio of this, of Biden actually giving her that name, audio soundbite 25. Listen.
I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries that help. We're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
Borders are. But see, audio soundbite 26, they're insisting that it's not a thing. They're insisting that this has never happened, that Biden never said this. Listen to this.
This is the kind of thing that is playing out all over conservative media. I just want to do a little bit of record correcting. There's not record crime right now. Number one, Harris was put in charge, as you said earlier, of combating the roots of immigration. She was not and is not the border czar.
And the Biden administration did task a Vice President Kamala Harris with the issue of migrant crossings, naming her the so-called border czar.
I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries that help us. We're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
Border czar. She was the border czar. The media insists that she is not. This is the one thing, because it's a failure for her. They do not want that to be part of her record, so they don't want to acknowledge it at all whatsoever. But she's the border czar, even though they're claiming otherwise. This is just part and parcel of what the media has been doing and how they've been working overtime to try to rehabilitate her, which we knew was going to happen. There was a couple of other ones that I wanted to pull up that I thought, okay, so here's another one. Inside House Republicans struggles with Harris. The GOP struggles to frame Kamala Harris. The Republican Party now dealing with Harris. Somebody called her a juggernaut. I can't even believe this. Guys, we need to buy some people dictionaries and thesauruses. We really do. They really want to revise this. They've started doing, you know how the Democrat Party was hiring people to do memes? So they're doing it again, and they're just as cringe as you would think that they are. They're horrific. So they've been doing it again. It's bad. It's bad. But you knew that this was going to happen. I told you it's going to be like unlike anything that you've ever seen. It's going to be so ridiculous. They're going to try to rehabilitate her and make her look like this, you know, this absolute rock star. And that's to be expected. That is absolutely to be expected. That's what they were going to do from the get-go. That's all they have to do. She actually pairs up pretty poorly against Trump, although it's still a little bit too close for me. But one of the things that we're going to get into coming up, not just today, but we're going to start hitting it, you know, pretty much like every day, is this Kamala bump. So what my friend Kurt Schlichter actually made mention of this. I'm going to pull this up. And I thought this was a great point because it was something I'm preparing a piece on. And it shows this auditorium that's packed with people. It's her first campaign stop. She was in Wisconsin. And my friend Kurt says Kamala is going to get a bump. Now, you guys know what that is. That's like a little increase in positive perception when it's measured by polling. And he made the good point that, and I think this is perfectly states it, the bump is coming from the relief of getting rid of Biden. It's not because people who rejected her policies to the point where she was in last place, the last primary, pulling behind Poot Buttigieg, where she barely scored 1% in the Democrat primary. She is a novelty, and people are relieved that they don't have Biden dragging down the ticket, because the polling, the inside polling that they had, and I think that was one of the reasons why Joe Biden was finally prevailed upon to choose to leave the race, is because they saw that Kamala at least fared a little bit better than Joe Biden did, and that's really ultimately the thing that kind of pressured him to get out, because they were leaking some of the other polling. But the reason that you haven't seen anything about Kamala, I think, is for that specific reason. They're going to try to fake it till they make it. And of course, in the very beginning, she's going to draw a lot of attention. There are going to be people that come out and see her because, again, she's a novelty. However, I want you to realize that that could translate into momentum, like actual sustaining momentum. We're like 100 some odd days out from voting. We're 60 days out from early voting. That could actually translate into something. So you have to be ready, and you actually have to, you got to put some work in the game. We're going to talk about all of that coming up. We're also going to get into, again, the latest with Secret Service. They've also now urged Trump to halt any outdoor rallies after this assassination attempt. We're going to get into all of that. Now, and we just went through Hurricane Beryl. I have friends in Houston that were without power for days, actually a couple of weeks. And it is not easy when you don't have power and you have a family to feed, especially if you're in an area where not all the restaurants are up and running. And actually, one of my friends had listened to me and is smart and had some ReadyWise. They're actually getting more because they ate all of it. I'm not even joking you. They actually went through what they had because they didn't have power in their area for some time. Look, having emergency food from ReadyWise, whether it's a natural disaster, political, whatever, supply chain disruption, you're going to have peace of mind knowing that you are prepared to feed yourself and your family, that you can keep up your energy, stay healthy. And this is where ReadyWise comes in. And you can trust where your food comes from. So with ReadyWise, these are high quality U.S. ingredients packed at a state-of-the-art U.S. plant. So you know the chain of command for the things that you are feeding your family during, you know, kind of a crazy time. And it's freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, has a 25-year shelf life. And they have a 72-hour food kit. You can buy one, get one. It's $100 value for $50. That's half off. It includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food. You got all your three hots in there, plus drinks, the whole nine yards, and 11,120 total calories in each kit. So you're getting the nutrients you need to sustain yourself, especially in a stressful period. So visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout, and you'll get 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first, CrowdStrike. Delta is apparently still melting down, and they're saying that it could last all week. Everybody's flights are canceled. Everybody's miserable. It's awful. It's still ongoing. They're still dealing with it, particularly Delta. They had to cancel hundreds of more flights yesterday And apparently it's ongoing today, all caused by last week's global tech outage. It's gone into the fifth day, and they're estimating that it's going to last all week. There is a friend of mine who, it is a friend of hers, a family friend of hers, that missed her daughter's wedding. They missed their daughter's wedding last weekend because of all this. I can't even imagine. So, man, they got to get it together. America's 60-year-olds are staring at financial peril. This is sad. This is a Wall Street Journal piece. And it says the bruising recession, disappearance of pensions have left many young boomers financially exposed. So people who are 60, they're at the tail end of the baby boom. So they're the baby boom. They're like the young boomers. And they everything is up in the air for them. So you have young boomers and you have Gen Z that are really like crunched. Meanwhile, Gen X and millennials who hate each other. Actually, everybody hates Gen X and always forgets about Gen X. I'm sort of sitting in the middle. It is incredibly sad, though. Beset with doomism. Speaking of Gen Z, some Gen Z children of immigrants are giving up on the American dream. This story makes me angry because of the way that it's framed and the premise that it is trying to convince people of. So they're saying, oh, the people moved to the United States. First off, I don't know any child of any legal immigrant or any immigrant family that came and became Americans or are working to become, you know, full-fledged Americans here in the United States who have this ideal. Not a single damn one of them. What they're specifically talking about without referencing it, you know, in detail are people who move here illegally. People who come here illegally and then they have opportunities limited because they're here illegally. And then they loop all of this in with legal immigration. I'm so tired of it. We're going to come back to this. We got a lot more in store. Stick with us, including the latest attacks on J.D. Vance. Those who help bring you free radio. Good folks like the ones over at Kel-Tec all day. I love the folks at Kel-Tec. And this is a great, I got to tell you, it's a great, great all-American success story. George Kellgren immigrated from Sweden, and in the very early 90s, like 1990, 1991, he founded Kel-Tec and began making super innovative pistols and rifles and shotguns, accessories, gear, all kinds of stuff. And just their mission is game-changing innovation. He's like a mad scientist, and they've got a great team that work there at Kel-Tec. They employ 300 Americans and many of them military veterans. And they craft distinctive firearms, very skilled engineers on staff. And their latest, one of the latest, the Sub-2K, that's a 9mm carbine. Gen 3 is out. I have the Gen 2 iteration, the Gen 3 light, foldable, effective. It's like gun origami. With the Gen 3, the thing that makes it different, got a light and 5-pound trigger pull. You have lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, but you also don't have to detach your optic anymore to fold it in half. And it just as quickly and easily deploys as well. Everything quality made right here in the US of A. See everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself at KelTecWeapons.com. One of my favorites is a KSG shotgun. I love the KSG. The whole KSG family. Follow them on social media. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then they are saying that Kamala Harris is a DEI hire, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that she's had everything handed to her because she's a woman, because she's black, because she's Southeast Asian, because she's whatever. If we're going to talk about DEI hires, why don't we talk about J.D. Vance? You know why J.D. Vance became Hollywood liberal and Hollywood darling and CNN contributor and all of those things? Because he supposedly was the translator for hillbillies, hillbilly elegy, right? So that was his entree, his diversity, equity, and inclusion. So let's include hillbillies and diversity, equity, and inclusion, or is it just for black people and Latinos?
I really don't think that I care to hear the analysis of an Ozempic shooting gold digger who's putting down a swath of the nation. And you can cut that one, because that's exactly what it is. That was Anna Navarro, who somehow lucked onto the VO. Look, you want to be mean, I'll be mean, and I'm going to be better at it. And I don't want to have to do this, but that really pissed me off to sit here and be like, oh, he's a DEI hire. He actually went and got a law degree, and he also served his nation in uniform, which, you know, Kamala Harris, you know, Huck Taw 2024, everybody's saying that now. It was Kane's original. That, you know, she didn't do any of that. But Anna Navarro, by the way, and yes, an Ozempic shooting gold digger. I'm you can quote me six ways to Sunday on that. Happy to say it over and over again, because it's exactly what it is. If you're going to go after, you know, a giant section of the country and try to mock, you know, people as hillbillies and act like J.D. Vance is some sort of like hillbilly whisperer, then I'm absolutely going to talk about your skinny in a shot and the fact that you went and chased money in South Florida. But, you know, whatever. Hey, I'm tired of this. Anna Navarro was a nobody when she was on Fox. I remember coming up in the industry, and she's, you know, she's older than I am. And I remember coming up in the industry, and she just was really milquetoast. Nobody really paid attention to anything that she wrote. Nobody paid attention to anything that she said. She really didn't have any style. She really didn't, you know, she just sort of said the same thing that everyone else said, but always like a couple of days after everybody else already said it. And, you know, when you're, you know, milquetoast like that and not very original and not fast on your feet, you don't go very far in commentary, and you definitely don't go very far in broadcasting. So her trade is cosplaying as a Republican on a very far left Marxist television show. And that's the only value that she brings to the table. She acts like she is a Republican. And I guarantee you that this would never happen if she actually were a Republican, because they go at you when you're, I've guest hosted that show before. I mean, they make it, I've had a friend who is legitimately way more Republican than any of the women who say that they are now on that program. And they made her life a living hell. So you have to completely, you have to assimilate like the Borg and in order for them to accept you and to make your life easy on that program. And she wanted to take an easy check. So she decided that's the route that she's going to go. But I'm going to tell you something. At least people who live in Appalachia, or people who live like in my third book, Flyover Nation, people who live in, you know, the Midwest or in the Ozarks, etc., they're honest about what they believe and about what they do. And they're not going to sit here and sell out for a paycheck and cosplay as something that they aren't, you know, and live this very, you know, shallow, materialistic, unfulfilling life so they can get clicks. That's not what they do. They actually live really rich lives. And so in some ways, I feel really sorry for her, because she ain't never met no hillbilly, number one. Those people are way more competent and way more self-sufficient than she is. And again, I just really have a problem with accepting any kind of serious, legitimate analysis from somebody who says something that everyone else was thinking and already saying 2 days later. You know, you're an Ozempic swilling gold digger. That's exactly what you are. And you're cosplaying as a Republican. And if you have a problem with me saying any of these things, you can fly your fat ass to Dallas and come and ask me about it. All right.
Happy Wednesday,
everybody. So
I'm out of and give a damn juice today.
I am. Thank you. That's my inner monologue coming out right there. I get really aggravated when people go after Flyover Nation denizens, you know, because those people have been kicked around six ways to Sunday. You know, in my third book, I went and I was looking at, where do all the people who wear the uniform come from? Where do all the people who enlist come from? They come from all the places that the coastal elites like to mock. They come from those places. You know, and if it wasn't for those folks that y'all on the coastal elites, that all those people mock and laugh at and talk smack about and say he's a DEI hire, because, I mean, that's not even in any ways original. Actually, I read it somewhere else first. I think she just repeated something that I've seen already. I actually read something like that a couple of days ago on social media. Like, at least be original. Oh my gosh, if you're going to insult someone, like, at least acknowledge the tweet that you stole. But I'm so tired of these people getting kicked around and smacked around simply because they don't live shallow, materialistic lives like people on the coasts, like these progressive elites on the coast do. I get so tired of this stuff. You know, I mean, the nicest people that I've ever met are those folks. I mean, my family comes from those folks. My family's from the Ozarks. You know, Kane's family is, you know, he comes from, you got a lot of family out in rural Illinois. We got a lot of listeners all over the country. We got a lot of listeners that are stuck with the coastal elites, and they're holding it up and doing the best that they can in some of these cities on the West and East Coast. But I'm so tired of it. We're not going to revive that now. Kamala Harris, when the press tells you not to talk about something, that means you should talk about something. Kamala Harris, you don't even really need to bring up the fact that she's a DEI hire. You know what? Poop Booty Juice is too. He got hired because he's gay. That's why he got hired. He got hired because he likes to have sex with dudes. Kamala Harris got her career started under Willie Brown. Like, literally. It's not an exaggeration. Again, I'm just the messenger. Go and talk to the Associated Press if you have a problem with it. But that's how she got her start. She started her career that way. I mean, and all of that information came from other Democrats in California. So get mad at those people for letting all of that information come out in the first place. She has not done anything except jail minorities, prosecute people who busted Planned Parenthood for selling baby parts, and being a horrific border czar, which the media is now trying to say that she's not. I saw this piece, Axios, who was one of the original, it was Axios and I think The Guardian and Politico, or somebody telling Politico, oh, Kamala Harris was never border czar. That's a whole thing that the right created. Axios actually had to, in the past hour, they had to revise their story. They put at the bottom of their story, and this is so rich, they put this, because they had a little correction. They had there that this article has been updated and clarified to note that Axios was among the news outlets that incorrectly labeled Harris a border czar back in 2021. That's a pretty big correction, don't you think so? I mean, that's a significant correction. I mean, these people are not serious. And then they tweeted. They finally had to tweet. Yes, you know, they because they had initially put Harris border confusion haunts her new campaign. And they had written the Trump campaign and Republicans have tagged Harris repeatedly with the border czar title, which she never actually had. Oh, my gosh. We're not. Can you play that? What's audio is that again? Audio soundbite 25. Just when they start. Just when Biden says she's border czar, because this is where that phrasing came from. Listen,
I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries that help us. We're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
Border czar. She's the border czar. That's where it came from. He did it. And so everyone began calling her, oh, border czar, border czar, border czar. That's what she is. Yeah. Border czar. She's the border czar. Okay. Well, that's where it came from. And she made trips to the border. She made a trip to the border. She went, remember when, oh, where's the story at? This came from New York Post. New York Post has a story. Remember when she did her one trip to the border? And it was in El Paso where they built the wall. So guess what? They had federal agents cleared all of the people who entered illegally. They call them migrants on Fox, but it's illegal immigrants. They all the people who entered illegally and were sleeping out on the street. The federal agents were, according to New York Post and Border Patrol, they sent federal agents. They cleared all of the illegal immigrants off of the street. They got everything cleaned up as a show for Harris for her only trip to the border. Her first and only trip to the border. They had to sanitize the entire area. They even, get this, and this is per a number of Border Patrol and a lot of people live in El Paso. They were braiding the hair of the kids who were brought over illegally by the coyotes. They were cleaning everything up to make it look like, oh, nothing's here. Look at this. Because they knew all the press was going to be coming with her. All the press was going to be coming with her. And so they decided, okay, we're just going to clean it all up. And we'll get it all set. The media shows up. Nothing's wrong here. Look how great it is. Nothing's wrong. This is totally great. There's no problem at the border. They put people in holding facilities. They staged like a Broadway show called There's No Illegal Immigrants Here. That's what the show was called. Kane, did you see it? No. The show There's No Illegal Immigrants Here? Big show put on by federal agents and Vice President Border Czar Kamala Harris. One agent said, quote, they rented out a ton of hotels and we spent hours moving people. The kids that remained, we had to braid their hair. They made jokes about how the building was more secure than the whole border was, end quote. Another agent, quote, she had zero interest in seeing anything and it was very rushed, end quote. It was a whole show. It was a whole show. Another agent came forward, quote, we sanitized all the aliens out there to make it look good. That was one. There's like a ton of agents that have been speaking out. Another said they did a cleanup on the streets and all the people that they were releasing, they put them in hotels. They had a stash house. Border Patrol agents were at a stash house where 35 illegal immigrants were stored. I don't know how else you put it. And they were clearing them out 3 days after Harris visited. Now, if you think, well, maybe there weren't that many people at the border at that particular time. No, no, no. In June of 2021 alone, when she made her trip, border agents, this does not include gotaways, border agents stopped approximately 21,500 people for that month alone, and only in El Paso. That was just in that area, right where Harris went to speak, for that month alone. It does not include gotaways. Department of Homeland Security, interestingly, had no comment when they were reached for a response on that story. Now, remember, after she gave her "don't come here" speech, you had 8 million people that crossed over illegally. She went to one part of the border where they cleaned it up, and then she didn't want to look at anything. The media went and got photos of clean streets, etc., and then that was it. That was all it was. And then they got to say there's nothing wrong here. That's why they always go to El Paso. Because people, they just get it cleaned up. And they actually have a force multiplier there in terms of a physical structure called a wall. But the media is all in on making sure you don't call her what borders are. And they're trying to tell you, you can't bring up, if you do, I think half and half, they're trying to bait Republicans into using DEI attacks. But you know, DEI attacks is not an attack on identity. It's an attack on the fact that her identity was treated as merit by itself, that somehow things over which you have zero control are the greatest measure as to whether or not you can do a specific task. That is stupid. But yet that's what the left promotes. And then they tell you, if you point out that they promote and they advance because of that, then that's somehow bad. It's an acknowledgement of the truth of this situation. We have a lot more on the way. So look, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's broke. And most of the companies that you do business with, that you have to do business with, completely do not at all agree with you on anything, nor do they support what you do. In fact, they put a lot of the money that they make off of what you give them, your hard-earned dollars, and make it work against you. Why not just, you know, give a little bit less money to all of these entities out there that want to make your life a living Hades, and they want to support abortion on demand, taxpayer funded, and gun control and all this other stuff? Why not switch to Patriot Mobile? Because they don't do any of that. In fact, their money works for you. They've been such a blessing with all of our school board fights and all of that stuff. And they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You get the best service in your area, but you're not funding the Marxist left. You get free activation with code Dana. They employ and U.S. Workers. These are U.S.-based jobs that you're supporting and helping to create more of and maintaining. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. And get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by other providers pretending to share your values or have the same coverage. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Who do you blame for President Biden being in office in this condition? Who deserves the blame?
His close staff. They work with him every day.
So I think that's what also makes me nervous about the Vice President Harris.
Yeah. Talk about that a bit.
So yes, she's going to be in it, but she also helped keep him in where he's at right now. And if he really is as bad as what they've been saying, I think if he steps down as president and she steps into the presidency before the end of his term, it almost makes me question a little bit more. Why
it almost makes you question, like, what would actually make you question when, like, they bend Biden over and you realize that he's a puppet and, you know, Valerie Jarrett has had her hand up his ass the whole time? Like, what would actually, you know, make you question it more? I'm curious, like, how far do you got to go with that? I mean, like, when I saw her hand, like, operate in his mouth, like a, you know, Syphilin Ollie sock puppet, that's when I realized that maybe I should question it more. Like, at what point do you actually go all the way and question it? All of it. Jeez. These people vote. I mean, that's like, I don't even know, man. That's messed up. When are you going to actually go all the way? And instead of making you nervous, it should scare the daylights out of you. It should. It's crazy. Well, I mean, everybody knew. Everyone knew. Oh, please don't say Kamala. Be so careful that the vice president of the United States is protected from knowing about the fact that the man, you know, could barely string two words together and fell down on flat surfaces, thought dead people talked to him, and constantly plagiarized everything, and then said he was in places that he wasn't, and then, you know, forgot that he was president, et cetera, et cetera. I still say that my favorite thing of yesterday, and he's speaking to the nation tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, my favorite thing is this performative face mask that someone gave him. They didn't even go to the length of bending it out of when they gave it to him out of the box yesterday. And he gets up on Air Force One and he's got his face masks in his hand as a reminder that, oh, I've got the COVID, I've got it, which he doesn't. Nobody believes that. You know what he's got? The old. He's got the old and barely like cognizant. That's what he has. It's not COVID, it's cognizance. Different C. Oh my gosh. So, yeah, that's I don't know. That's just some of the latest with us. I'm just they're trying so hard. It's going to get nasty. Which, Kane, got to tell you, if it does. I was made for such a time as this.
I'm saying born for the fight.
I feel like a Redditor who's been asked to report to meme duty. Yes, we need some really mean bitches up to the front line. Okay, yes, I will report.
And by the way, you think it's just starting to get, like, mean?
Oh, it's going to get meaner. I mean, it hasn't just started. I don't think it's gotten mean. By my standards, this isn't mean. Which tells you how mean it can get. This isn't mean by my standards. Oh, but it can get meaner. I'm just saying. We're gonna talk about all of that because I think you got to get mean to get nice again, right? Mm-hmm. So coming up, I'll tell you about my new dog, our rescue pup. And we've got to get into, you know, the president speaking tonight. Is he, though? I mean, let's unwrap all the foil off Kane's head, right? Coming up, second hour. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm George, an economics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
The Declaration of Independence is more than a bold letter to a British king written by upstart colonists, although it very much is that. The Declaration explains the promise of America, that all men and women are born equal in their possession of natural rights, and that the proper exercise of these rights can lead to a full and deeply satisfying life. Just as the Declaration explains America's promise, the Constitution upholds that promise. Its purpose is to protect the rights of all of us, our natural rights. This establishes the possibility, not the guarantee, that we can have a good life. This is true freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
So as Leah told you, before I was elected vice president, before I was elected United States Senator, I was elected Attorney General of the state of California, and I was a courtroom prosecutor before then. And in those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
And considering that you got started under Willie Brown, I think it's pretty safe to say that we all know your type. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour.
Quite literally under.
Under, yeah. I mean, that whenever you hear people say literally, usually that's not, they're wrong and they're using that word incorrectly. No, we literally mean literally. Right. So she knows the type. She's the type of chick that accuses a guy falsely of rape. Remember? When she accused Brett Kavanaugh of gang rape. Remember? I mean, what about when she was threatening broke parents in California? When she was threatening them with jail time so she could act like she was doing something about social policy. Anybody remember that? She championed a truancy law. Now she regrets it. She made her prosecutorial record the centerpiece of her previous presidential bid. This is over at Governing. And she says she now has misgivings about a California law that she championed that punished, brutally punished the parents of truant school kids. And I mean, it was pretty bad. She issued citations to parents whose kids missed school. None of them were put in jail. She called it a public safety issue. She told one crowd at a speech. She goes, "I have a huge stick," is what she said. Like, she actually said that. Golly. So, just saying, you know, she's not a middle of the road Democrat. And a lot of them, they tried during her presidential bid, they were trying to sort of portray her as that. But her past is coming back to haunt her. I mean, she threw a lot of people into jail. She had so many prosecutorial abuses. She abused her office in ways that, you know, she had said that it should never be done. I mean, there's all kinds of stories about this. I'm like looking at some of just what we have. She had a very polarizing record. In 2010, she got in a lot of trouble with a California Superior Court judge who said that she had violated her defendant's rights because she was covering up information about a drug lab technician. And the judge concluded that the prosecutors that were working in her office, they did not fulfill their constitutional duty of telling the defense attorneys about, you know, these witnesses that could actually challenge their credibility. And so she had over 600 cases that were dismissed because she was withholding evidence. Why did Alec Baldwin's case get thrown out? Because the state withheld evidence. She was going after people and withholding evidence. Now, I absolutely loathe Alec Baldwin. I think he's a POS and he's killed people. But the state can't withhold evidence. And I don't even think that this was actually germane to the case. That's a whole other topic. But the state's not supposed to withhold evidence. And this actually had to do with the culpability of, you know, some of these cases. So she had 600 cases that were dismissed as a result of it. When she was AG, she fought a judge's decision because they wanted to remove the Orange County DA's office from a death penalty trial because evidence emerged that there had been this like snitch program that the sheriff's department had been operating. And they said that tons of murder trials, they said, in fact, it was a dozen criminal cases, many of the murder trials that were tainted as a result of all of this. She went the Moonlight Fire case. So in 2007, a wildfire burned about 65,000 acres in the California Sierras. And they had the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. They led this, their lead investigator. So they had a wildfire investigator lied about how the fire got started. You know, where did it start? How did it get start? And he destroyed all of the notes that he made during his investigation. And he falsified a lot of witness statements and a lot of the stuff in his report. And he was trying to blame private landowners. And the way that she handled this case, they said that California Superior Court Judge Leslie Nichols looked at the case and found that the investigatory and discovery abuses were so pervasive, via the Post, and egregious and corrupt and tainted that they had to terminate the Cal Fire's actions and they had to sanction them. And they said that they're never going to be able to get a fair trial because of all of this, and that they had landowners involved. Harris would not investigate it. She was refusing to investigate it. And she kept trying to make up excuses as to why she couldn't bring the power of her office. Even the landowners were being targeted and having things falsified to pin the responsibility on them for this, as opposed to, you know, actually, you know, what I mean, it was a group of they said that it had nothing to do with private landowners. I mean, this was, you know, Cal Fire, apparently. They were trying to get the state off the hook for any kind of culpability and blame private landowners. That had nothing to do with the wildfire. And Harris was on the side of the state. And she was by way of not investigating and doing her job responsibly as she swore an oath to constitutionally fulfill, that she was actually depriving these people of due process because they were being targeted by the state and she was doing nothing to stop it. It was unbelievable. I mean, this goes on and on and on. They she she kept saying, oh, I couldn't do it because, oh, there's a, I have an ethical conflict because I represent them in this other lawsuit. So I can't, you know, I can't invest it. And that wasn't true. And she got hit by a judge for that. She is so corrupt. This is like Hillary Clinton levels of judicial corruption. It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad. I mean, she, remember David Daleiden? We had him on the program. Do you remember the Planned Parenthood? This was back, when was this? This was a few years ago. This is when Obama was still president. She was AG. She wasn't even a senator at that time. David Daleiden, who was an independent journalist who also is pro-life, he did an investigation of Planned Parenthood and a tip that he had received from a number of workers in these clinics. And one of them was in the Houston clinic. And they were telling them that Planned Parenthood was actually harvesting aborted infants' organs and selling them. And it sounded so insane. I mean, he was on the show before. David Daleiden couldn't even believe it. And so he and his crew went undercover, and they got all of these at various different clinics, actual Planned Parenthood executives and workers on camera, on record. You all remember this, talking about how exactly they took the body parts and organs of aborted infants and they would sell them. They would actually sell them for medical research or whatever. They would sell them. And it was against the law to do that. And they made a lot of money doing it. And when this story came out, Kamala Harris was the attorney general at the time in California. She had his home raided. She took every computer that he had and she tried to jail him for life. She tried to throw him in prison and lock and throw away the key. And then as a senator, which she was running for Senate, she was getting ready to transition from AG to Senate during this time. She was working with Planned Parenthood to actually work write legislation that would remove your ability to do things like this and point out the atrocities of a taxpayer-funded entity like this. I mean, she is an absolute tyrant. She has no understanding. She has no concept of the rule of law. And she is completely fine with using her office to go after people like David Daleiden. I mean, that case against him was insane. And it's not surprising that, you know, she ran her border czar job in that way. See, talking about stuff like this did she get fast tracked because of DEI? Hell yes, she did. Anyone saying otherwise is a moron. That's just an absolute fact. It is when you use the cards of feminism and parlay that into professional advancement, and then you get on your high horse and act shocked and criticize people who point out that you indeed did use these traits, and then you demonize these traits in your new public policy. That's just asinine. You can't sit here and tell us we can't talk about what you absolutely did. You don't make the rules for me. They don't make the rules for you. So this, I mean, she's a tyrant, an absolute zealot, completely. She thinks also she wants to eliminate all private health care plans. Remember, she's called for this. She wants taxpayers to provide health insurance plans to people who entered illegally. That's also a real thing. I mean, we could sit here and talk about this all day. She is she's a Marxist. She subscribes to Marxist theory. Remember when she was urging her supporters, she was advertising and contributing to a bail fund that was paying for the bond of all of the people who were burning down neighborhoods. And some of them were very, very, very criminally active even before. I mean, there were rapists. You know that, right? There were rapists that she secured the bond for that were involved in all of this stuff. There's tons of news articles about it. It's hidden on this thing that they call the internet. And she went out there and she was talking about defunding the police. She pushed this in 2020. She was all about moving funds that taxpayers had voted on from police to welfare. She wanted to slash the budget for law enforcement. She was trying to do that as a way to make amends for her putting everybody in jail as AG in California. I mean, it's crazy. She had once said, She was once asked if people like the Boston Marathon bomber, if they are on death row, should people like the Boston Marathon bomber be able to vote? And she goes, well, I think we should have that conversation. That guy wouldn't even, was he even here legally? Just crazy. Remember when she went out there and said Juicy Smollier that it was an attempted lynching? And that tweet's still up, by the way. She said, quote, this was an attempted modern day lynching. No one should have to fear for their life because of their sexuality or the color of their skin. We must confront this hate. Yeah. Juicy Smollier. Remember him? Mm-hmm. So she has so much baggage. And there's a reason why she was last place with Democrats. But Democrats are wagon circlers. Don't think that your job was just made easier. She's going to have a little bit of a bump. And the Republican Party needs to be quick to frame her. You need to have her defined for voters before she does it for you. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
And I'm seeing all kinds of headlines about Harris is going to pick this as her VP. This is her VP. We'll see. The latest is Shapiro, Josh Shapiro. That's what is being suggested. So we'll have all the latest on that. All right. So first up, this is so stupid. Gen Z, not everything is core. They're trying to talk under consumption core. It's called frugality. Under consumption core. Stop it. Fortune says that Gen Z is embracing under consumption core to fight climate change and inflation. And they actually, you know, you don't have to be materialistic. You don't have to get into consumer culture. Just be frugal. And it's not called under consumption core. Stop it. There are words already that exist for that. So remember how we had this story of this chick who got bit by a tick, and then she was allergic to like all red meat, and Kane and I were horrified, and everyone who likes red meat was horrified. Well, now they think that they've made a breakthrough because they said pig transplant research has yielded a surprise. Bacon is safe for people who are allergic to red meat. Wait, so you didn't do anything else about the rest of the meat though? I mean, the bacon's fine, but what about the rest of the meat? I still say that's all a big ol' op. I will fight you. If there's one thing that I had to cling to besides I think Bigfoot may be real and aliens exist, is that I do believe that, you know, maybe that they're trying to engineer ticks to give people allergic. I'm just saying, it seems like, you know, Occam's razor here. People want more protein, even at dessert. Got to get them gains, yo. People are flocking to ice cream cakes and cookies with extra protein mixed in. I got to tell you, because my side of the family has crazy high metabolism. Like, my grandfather, who's a rancher, was like shredded wheat up into his 80s. Like, he was just crazy thin, didn't go gray. He was just, you know. But my kids, you know, when you're dudes, it's a little harder to gain weight. So when you have fast metabolism, to add muscle. So I would add protein into every bread. I did all the bread, the cookies, everything. And I added protein, whey protein into everything. And it does help. Doctors have revealed, speaking of Anna Navarro, they've developed the hidden side effects of the Ozempic boom, because apparently it's caused severe shortages. And people are having like serious gastric issues, and they're having to get plastic surgery because their skin's falling off their face. It's just wild. Boeing Starliner missions exceeded the 45-day battery window at ISS. Uh-oh. So their battery's dead. And they got people stranded up there still. Stay with us. They want to make sure that you are prepared no matter what happens with this economy. You know, like buying $7 for a dozen or $7 to buy a dozen eggs. Gosh, have you seen what milk costs? It's insane. I mean, inflation is out of control. And it's another reason why we have to win in November. Until then, you need to diversify and protect your savings like I've done with top-rated company Goldco. Thousands of five-star reviews and a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau prove their worth. And they make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. It's a very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. They're dedicated to transparency and honesty, no pressure approach either. And they've helped people like us place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. And that's they have an education first approach. So they give you a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit to explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. So visit DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how to get started today. You'll also get that complimentary wealth protection kit that will arm you with the facts about precious metals. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, I know what a black job is. It's the Vice President of the United States.
Well, I mean, if you want to have a conversation about who called somebody a DEI hire, I think Biden kind of did it first. You heard it just right there in that soundbite. That was, what was that? That was like, his address in Vegas. Yeah. That was to the NAACP right before.
Less than 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was the day, remember, that they were rushing him out of there? Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh with you. You can listen coast to coast. And you can also stream the radio program. You can watch the video component, the simulcast, channel 347, DirecTV. And you can also follow along on Rumble, on X, all that good stuff. Joe Biden was the one who called her a DEI hire first. But what's more, as Chris Rufo reminds, you've got the statement that he put out, whitehouse.gov. He says, quote, he said this. This is verbatim. Hold up. I'm going to put this in Slack for you. No. You have this one? Do you have this up on the White House website? Oh, you do. Never mind. You do. You got it. He called her a DEI hire. He said, quote, to me, the values of diversity, equality, inclusion are literally, and this is not kidding, the core strengths of America. And that's why I'm proud to have the most diverse administration in history that taps into the full talents of our country. And it starts at the top with the vice president. Guys, he called her a DEI hire himself. He did. He called her that.
What's the date on that? It's in May?
It's May of 2021. That's it. That's what he said. He called her this. He was the one who called her this.
And even said the words there. And it starts at the top with the vice president.
Yep. Huh. So not only did he call her the border czar, he was the one who also said she was a DEI hire. Huh. And the media is like, can you believe that the right is repeating the things that Biden said? Oh my gosh, can you believe the right is repeating the stuff that Biden actually said about Kamala? I mean, Biden gets out there and he's like, she's a DEI hire. And the right's like, they said she's a DEI hire. And the media's like, can you believe the right said that she's a DEI hire? Who called her that first, geniuses? Give yourselves a Pulitzer. Good night. He called her himself and said, hey, you're a DEI hire. I don't know. She's going to get a bit of a bump, like I said, from this polling. Can I please, for the love of all things holy, audio soundbite 6, Hakeem Jeffries, head of the Democrat Congressional Caucus. He says that Harris has earned this nomination, guys. Go ahead.
Vice President Harris has earned the nomination from the grassroots up and not the top down.
No, that's literally not at all how that worked. That's not at all how that works. She got it because the party elite made it happen. They selected her. They made it happen. That's how she got this nomination. She wasn't voted on by anybody in the grassroots. Grassroots didn't vote for her. Grassroots did not select her. this is, I mean, like, quite literally, this is just the party elite picking her and having her be on the ticket. They did, oh my, like this, audio sound by five, Chuck Schumer, he follows up in the Senate side of things and saying, oh yeah, she, you know, he just kind of, he confirms that what Hakeem Jeffries just said was garbage. And then he dismisses any concern over it. Listen.
Yes.
I know you said that this was a bottom-up process, but Kamala Harris is the vice president of the United States. There was no other competition. This is going to be selected by party delegates, insiders, essentially. What's your case to the American people and to the Democratic voters that voted for Joe Biden that this isn't a coronation?
The bottom line, it was a bottom-up process. People just rallied right to her side. The enthusiasm in this big, diverse, representative party was amazing. It was palpable. You could cut it with a knife.
He didn't answer the question. He didn't answer the question. She's selected without any kind of competition, though. Nobody voted for her. She was just picked. And you know, her first job, so you have Benjamin Netanyahu, who is in D.C. today. He's speaking to Congress. And then they were putting barricades up because of his visit. And that didn't have anything to do with Biden speaking tonight, although I think it's weird. Biden's in D.C. He has nothing on his schedule. His schedule was clear. That was made public already. He's just speaking. You know it's not live. He's speaking tonight. It's going to air tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. I'll be on Fox to respond to that later on this evening. And this, it's his first address to everyone. Netanyahu's in town. Kamala Harris should be presiding over the Senate, but she's refusing to do so because of Netanyahu. She's purposely snubbing him. And, you know, you can sit here and talk about how she's, you know, a Marxist from California with an abysmal record. But you also need to point out, you know, how her refusal to do her job as a VP and even acknowledge, you know, the Israeli leader in the United States right now and snubbing him. He's addressing joint session of Congress and snubbing him by not presiding over the Senate as you do as VP. I think that that's significantly important. And I think it also highlights her absolute lack of understanding as it relates to foreign policy and that you would do that to an ally. It is just asinine to me. Can you imagine what would happen if the Marxist left got to control fully foreign policy and that became the United States' position towards Israel on it? Just think about how much different now the Democrat Party is regarding Israel right now, as opposed to how they were 8 years ago, even 5 years ago. Now, because of the Dearbornistan wing of the Democrat Party, they're not just openly snubbing Netanyahu, they are downplaying the terror attack that took place last October in Israel. They're also ignoring our hostages, our own American hostages that are still being held by Hamas. There's no excuse for this. It is just wild. You have this state. There's a number of lawmakers that are just skipping out. So you have Harris, who's refusing to go. Elizabeth Warren tweeted, quote, "I will not attend Prime Minister Netanyahu's political show in Congress. After nearly 300 days, Netanyahu has failed to bring the hostages home, and he's created a humanitarian catastrophe. This war must end. We need an immediate ceasefire." She acts like if Israel just lays down their arms, then that's the end of it. If Israel lays down their arms, they're destroyed. Hamas has broken all the ceasefires. Every ceasefire, it is always, never without exception, not a single exception, been Hamas who breaks it. So you have Warren, she doesn't even mention the hostages. Who's holding our hostages, Warren? And why? So you have Patty Murray, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Chris Van Hollen, Dick Durbin, Tim Kaine. The only reason Vance isn't there is because he's doing some campaign stuff. So this is not necessarily something he's got to be there for. And there are a lot of Republicans that are going to be there anyway. But the number of so that's in the Senate, the number of House, it is wild. Tons of Democrats. Premier Jayapal, of course. Jim Clyburn. Nancy Pelosi's not going to be there. Ariana Presley's not going to be there. Cortez won't be there. That's pretty amazing. So J.D. Vance, he's campaigning, so I understand that. But And there are a ton of other Republicans that are going to be there. And apparently Musk is there. This is just, think of the difference in the Democrat Party towards Israel today compared to 4 years ago, even. It would be unfathomable to snub the leader of an ally like this. But the Democrat Party has been entirely taken over by the anti-Semitic, completely anti-Semitic left within the DNC. I mean, it's just wild. This is wild. And the stuff that they've been saying about this. So he's addressing, because obviously it's going to be on the continued conflict in Gaza. And, you know, you've had the Rafah offensive. I was actually looking to see if you'll forgive me for a moment, if Warren had tweeted, she hasn't tweeted anything about the American hostages that are being held over there. I just wanted to do like a quick little scroll of her timeline. Nope. Nothing. Not one. In fact, none of them. Looking at Jayapal, none of them. Nope. None. So, yeah, Netanyahu's addressing Congress for the first time since the October 7th attack. 30 Democrats thus far. And then, of course, they have all of the anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesters. His speech is what? 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern? Netanyahu's speech?
Yes.
So, yeah. Now, this... Normally, when you have, because I saw a lot of stuff going around about the barricades that are being put up and, oh, what's Joe Biden? It has to do with Netanyahu's address today. And it's not abnormal. I will say it is not abnormal to not have the president or vice president meet any kind of leader, whether it's a leader of a political party within a sovereign nation or a formal leader or a leader. Nothing. It's not unusual. Usually, if Congress invites the leader, then it's Congress that meets them on the tarmac. So that wasn't the big thing for me. The weird thing is, though, is that Biden refuses to meet with Netanyahu and he had canceled. I guess he was going to meet with him and canceled it, canceled 9 other events and no plans for Harris. And she, because she's president of the Senate, she would typically be there presiding over the Senate, and she's not doing it. Now, you could say, well, maybe she's campaigning, too. But she's also president of the Senate and vice president of the United States. So that makes it a little weirder. Don't you think that the campaign excuse doesn't necessarily translate as well for her as it would for Vance? And Vance is VP. Harris is now running for president. Now, Mike Johnson, apparently he was the one who invited him. And you remember Schumer. I'm not surprised to see Schumer not there. Schumer called for new elections to replace him. And later sent a formal invitation with Johnson, and they and Biden and Harris were expected to meet separately with him this week at the White House. I don't think that's happening, so I don't know. But Johnson began pushing for him to address lawmakers. So we'll see. We'll see how all this unfolds, because it's supposed to happen at like what, 1 p.m. Eastern. So, or sorry, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. Some of the other stuff that we have on deck. Black Lives Matter is upset. They're demanding that Harris secure delegates. They remarked on her securing delegates to become the nominee. And they're saying that they cannot ignore the troubling actions of the Democrat Party and that they did not host debates during the primary. And where are black voters? Where do they get to weigh in? Maybe you guys should have said something about this when you saw the party machine, like the gears working to disenfranchise everybody who voted in the primaries. I don't know. We're going to talk about this coming up. We're also going to get into the latest with, obviously, the media offensive. We've got some econ stuff, Secret Service as well, because Chris Wray, FBI Director Chris Wray, has been testifying. And now Cheadle was saying that there are not recordings of any Secret Service radio traffic from the day of the attempted assassination. I find that weird. Do you ever ask yourself how you can work this hard and still be in debt? I mean, the piles of overdue bills, the threatening phone calls, the constant stress of wondering how you're going to make ends meet each month, it just won't stop. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. They've developed aggressive new strategies to end your debt. permanently. Zero Debt USA stands between you and the bill collectors. They negotiate with creditors to lower or even forgive what you owe, and they do it all without bankruptcy or new loans. The bottom line is Zero Debt USA has powerful strategies that zap your debt quickly, so you have more money in your pocket every month. But you need to hurry, because some debt solutions are time sensitive, and you don't want to miss out. Visit zapmydebt.com and talk with one of their debt relief strategists for free and find out how fast they can get you out of debt. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. Visit zapmydebt.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, I got a whole... I mean, what in the world? Let's do this. Can we do the stretcher thing? Let's do the funeral home first. This is Fox 5 Atlanta that has a story. A Florida man stole this weird medical stretcher from a Dallas, Georgia funeral home. Just to make it more confusing, Dallas, Georgia, Florida man, right? So these officers responded to a vehicle break-in, the location of a funeral home, and they discovered that a medical stretcher was stolen from one of the vehicles. The detectives got evidence, and they linked it with other incidents in the metro area. They identified 56-year-old Michael Johnson of Florida as the offender, Michael Christopher Johnson. An arrest warrant was issued for him. He's got an extensive history of theft, according to police. So apparently he's like still out there. Yeah. So this was Dallas, Georgia. So the Dallas, Georgia, not Dallas, Texas police are looking for this guy. But how do you not find it? They got his license plate. I mean, he's, you know, a pretty easy guy to ID. Right. And why do you steal a medical stretcher from a funeral home? This is like Fallout or something. Like he's, you know, that's like Fallout 76. And he's like out there scavenging. Like, what in the world is this? Right? It's weird. Out of all the things to steal. What are you going to use it for? Unless you're a serial killer and it's your victim. See, the mind writes all kinds of stories. I'm just saying. All right. So let's see here. We got to get into this story. This one's not on this list, but it has to do with a drunk Florida man who horrified guests at the Marco Island Marriott. This is sent by Florida woman Amber, who finds some good uns, right? Let's just say. So this guy, he looks, Alberto Hernandez, 51 years old. He showed up to the pool at Marco Island Marriott, hammered and ready to turn things up. Woo! But in a bad way. So police got a call because someone called the Popo. They said there's a loudmouth here causing a scene at the pool. So the police come and they find drunk Mr. Hernandez, wasted out of his mind. They said that guests said he stole their phones. They had wrapped their phones and hidden them inside a towel and left them on a table while they swam. Hernandez stole them. And then he got confronted. Things got messy. While they were trying to sort it out, women approached them with a crazier story. They said that they were looking for the guy to report him to police because they were in the hot tub with other women. And Hernandez showed up and dropped his swim trunks and gave them a solo fiddle performance. I have no idea how else to put that. And apparently there were kids around. And then when the police got there, he dropped his bathing suit again and flashed the cops. And oh my gosh. So he got arrested and they made him cool off inside of a jail cell. And I'm just sad that there's not body cam footage of how horrified everybody is. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
Trump not kept off the stage.
We don't know the answer to that, but I want to be clear, and this is important because I think it goes to questions that I can and cannot answer. Our investigation, the FBI's mandate, is focused on the shooter and all things related to his attack. Now, obviously, I understand very much the intense interest and focus on the Secret Service's performance, actions, decision-making, etc. There are two separate after action reviews, the DHS Inspector General and the outside independent panel that's been convened that are focused on that. Now,
so that's FBI Director Chris Wray, and he was explaining just then in this House, this hearing, that he has no idea why nobody told Trump to stay off the stage. why Trump wasn't kept off of the stage. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash here with you. And this is one of the things that we're watching because we have this hearing going on at the same time that Netanyahu is addressing Congress, and there's a lot happening, obviously, of all the latest with the campaign, etc. If you're just joining us, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, the simulcast, channel 347 DirecTV. Find us on X. The chat happens at Rumble. And you can also find the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. By the way, that's where Lorraine's got her latest piece up. It's a very thorough piece. I suggest that you read it if you haven't checked it out already. It's a very thorough piece that gets into absolutely everything that has happened thus far with the Secret Service and the Trump assassination attempt, and looking, separating fact from fiction. And now you have the former director of the Secret Service, Kim Cheadle. It has her, it has the timeline of everything, including everything about the killer and how he, you know, asked for the day off and parked a third of a mile away and biked into the area, was spotted acting suspiciously leading into the event, and the drone that he was using to scope out the area, and how he was apparently carrying a backpack. He had a, in his car, it was rigged with a rudimentary explosive. He had a backpack with a, another weapon in it. And he apparently had hid his firearm near the AC units attached to that building. And he was seen in footage from inside the rally, walking around, climbed up on some of the AC units, onto the roof, all of that stuff. I mean, he was gets into absolutely everything, and how the even the local PD fired a few times and missed. And that's why they said that they had a local PD gun in custody as well. She notes that. That's why the FBI had said that. 26 seconds after the first shot, the counter sniper neutralizes the threat. Gets into all, I mean, so there's everything, everything, except there's still a lot of questions that we don't have answers to. And there's been some of that happening in this ongoing hearing. It's one of the reasons, I mean, you have Congress, members of Congress who are attending this, this address that Netanyahu is giving now. And then you have this hearing that's been ongoing. And apparently the FBI is still trying to get into some of these encrypted messaging apps on his devices. And they're saying that he was just, they're saying, oh, he was just looking for a convenient high value target. And the security lapse within the Secret Service gave him the window of opportunity that he needed in order to get in there and strike. And there are a lot of, Lorraine's piece, which you should, because I've seen a lot of people share this. A lot of people are sharing what looks to be like a guy, a trans dude, and saying that it's the killer, and it's not the killer. It's a totally different person. And so there's some fact and fiction separation that happens there. You need to go and check it out because, by the way, the counter sniper's roof was way more sloped than the sniper's roof. Thank you. I don't know if you guys have seen some of the comparisons. Lorraine's got the comparisons over at our Substack, Chapter and Verse. It's like flat compared to the sloped roof that the counter snipers were on. And that's, I mean, it is pretty wild, pretty wild. You also had apparently sources saying that the detail had been, Trump's detail had been asking for more help for a long time and was repeatedly denied. Of course, we had Jim Jordan on who said that, yes, absolutely, it was denied. It had been denied. Gets into all of that. So it's a good deep dive that you're going to definitely want to check out. But there are a lot of questions still. How was he able to access this area? Did he access the area, and did he stash his rifle there? Or did he bring his rifle with him? We need to know more information about the drone. The other big question that needs to be answered is, remember when you had local security and apparently also a member of the president's security team who had taken photos of this guy like 20 some odd, a half hour, 20 minutes before all this happened? And sent it up the chain. Well, one took it about 20 minutes before it happened. The other took a photo. And I think this was somebody with the president's, who was with Secret Service, perhaps. Somebody with the security team, and like a 40 minutes to a half hour before. Where did they send those photos to? They took a photo of them and sent them up the chain of command. That's the only thing that's been reported. It's only been described as that. So where did they send them to? If you're a part of the president's detail and you're taking a photo of a suspicious person and you're sending it up the chain of command to be identified, who does that go to? They didn't get that answer from Kim Cheadle, so maybe they'll get it from Chris Ray. Maybe they'll get it from there. But that's to me, is a huge question. Because, I mean, clearly the guy looks suspicious. Who was that sent to? And did they receive it? And what was the response? I mean, we got a million questions still. A million questions. But this is just, I mean, what gets me is that you had an attempted assassination attempt of a former president, potential next president of the United States. Think about how often these people went on and on about J6. Which was, there were people who conducted a riot there. That's undeniable. We talked about it. We were alive on air when it happened, and we condemned the violence and the destruction because our tax dollars paid for that. But the people are acting like it was a coup, even though no one was armed. And the only people who were made dead were those who were, you know, there for, I guess, J6ers, you could say. The way that the left and Democrats have talked about that ad nauseum, and acted like, you know, people were in fear of their lives and all this stuff. You had somebody who tried to kill the president of the United States, the former president, maybe next president, and they act like it's no big deal. They're wanting to scooch right on by it. I'm not, you cannot let this go, because this is a scary thing. The Secret Service, in the meantime, has told Trump to stop holding outdoor rallies. I think I would want my own private detail at this point. Kane, don't you think so? Yeah. But then isn't there... wouldn't they butt heads with Secret Service? Because from what I understand, when Secret Service takes control of an area, they take control of the whole thing. Because I've had to go through Secret Service checkpoints and all kinds of stuff before several times. When I met, when Trump was still president, and I went to an event where he was at and met with him backstage. And you had to go through, you still had to go through the secret. They knew who I was, but you still had to go through, you know, a Secret Service checkpoint. And I remember at CPAC when I had to speak right before the vice president of the United States, and I had to get, that's when I flew in. It was after the town hall, and I flew super late at night into DC. I got there at like midnight, and I had to be up, and I had to be like downstairs at something like 6 o'clock, because it's like an hour and a half of security to go through. They don't care who you are. You got to go through it, and they check stuff there ahead of the VP. So I've got questions, because when they take control of that area, they assume control from local police. They assume control from state police. They're what they say goes. When they take control of the area, what they say goes. That's why you'll have events like it'll be conventions that you can carry in. But then the moment that Secret Service get there and they take over a particular premises and they secure it, and that's in within their perimeter, you can't carry. That's what the Secret Service says. They don't care what the laws are. They don't care what local police says. They don't care what state police. That's what they assume control of that area. So I'm wondering if he could even have private security, if he could have a private team, or would that. You know, what would that work? How would that work with Secret Service? That's another big question.
You and I both have friends that are more capable than the Overwatch we saw that happened that day, two Saturdays ago. Private security would probably do well in the realm of consultation, at least, for what we're seeing coming out of the current Secret Service.
Yeah, they need training. But I just... when you see that and you play that out in your head, there are things that I would have done differently. I mean, he was still exposed the entire time he was on stage. And I know that, I think it's important that he wanted to make sure everyone knew that he was okay. And that's why he had his, you know, fist in the air. But I would have had him a hell off the stage a lot sooner. Even if I had to drag him down the stairs, I'd have had him off stage a heck of a lot sooner. I'm just, that whole thing makes me nervous. And the fact that nothing has been fixed yet. The lady who runs the department stepped down. Okay, so what's next? You see that? I mean, there's some errors there. Netanyahu's speaking now to members of Congress, and we'll have any highlights as well. But of course, you know, a number of people are boycotting that. All right, so change of pace. So yesterday, I told you we got a dog, Puppy Yaga. We named him. His name is Wick. Yeah, he's the puppy Yaga. He's a rescue pup. His name's Wick. He's got the, we got the hard consonant in there. And we brought him home yesterday. He's as sweet as can be. We don't know what he is. He's a mutt. He's a rescue mutt. I didn't necessarily want a puppy, but he had facial markings really similar to one of our dogs named Louie that we had lost a couple of years ago. And he's such a good boy. He's so good. And he did really good yesterday. He is potty trained, but he's having a couple of accidents, which can be understandable because he's in a brand new environment. And he's with new people. And he's, you know, obviously stressed and nervous. And he's not settled yet. So he's decompressing for the next few days. So he's doing that. That's me getting the puppy, get the little puppy from Puppy Yaga from Wick. He's such a good boy. He's got his, he's got a new bed and he's got some new toys and we've, you know, he's done really, really well. And he slept, but he was crated and he slept on my side, by my side of the bed, because I cannot stand sad dogs. So he's got a little separation anxiety right now. He's got to be within sight of somebody. And so, but he did so good last night, his first night. He was such a good boy. And he's been having a pretty good day so far. So he's like a little over 4 months old, but he's a mutt. I don't, everyone's like, is he this, that? He looks like he has a little of that, what is it, the Rhodesian Ridgeback, like a little of that in there. Someone else said he looks like he's got a little black mouth cur. I mean, I can see a number of different breeds in him, but he's such a good baby. He's so gentle. He's really good on a lead. He's very good. And he's just very calm and he's very polite. And he listens well to correction, because, you know, I don't yell at animals. I don't like yelling at animals, but we're like, no, no, or we'll tell him once. And he listens. He's a good boy. So he's such a good boy. And it's been nice because it's been 6 months since the day we got back from SHOT Show. That next day we lost Rocco. So it's been a little bit. So he's been a nice addition to the family. He's been fitting in very well. But his name is Wick, the puppy Yaga. That's who he is. All right. So we got a lot more on the way. It's dog update. Netanyahu's speaking to Congress. The media is propping up Kamala, and we got to talk about some polling and the Kamala bump a little bit more in detail as we get rolling.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So an Army vet has revealed a terrifying encounter with Bigfoot while camping on an abandoned forest road. It was, yeah, a Sasquatch hunter. This is totally somewhat related to the story. There's more than one, are they like Bigfoots, Big Feet, or that's Bigfoot as a singular plural, like deer?
That's a tough one. I think we just got to allow for a lot of forgiveness on that one.
I'm just wondering. I'm just curious. I've never had that answered, actually. Feet. Everybody's got different answers. Big Feet. It's like saying meese, I think. I really kind of want to strike out Big Feet, because it's like saying, oh, look at the meese over there. No, it's just moose. Or mooses. You don't say that either. Anyway, this guy's from Montana. He said he was near the Gifford Pinchot National Forest in Washington, and he heard one screaming. That's the first time he heard a Yeti scream. And I don't know, it's very interesting, very interesting. Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe there is one. Washington's where all the sightings are, aren't they? Like Northern California and Washington, that's where all the sightings always are. 1 in 3 think they have a way to strike it rich in America. This goes against that one story that we had in our first headline segment in our first hour. You know how Gen Z is like really just down about the American dream. Not Gen Z, but immigrants coming in. Illegal immigrants specifically, not legal immigrants. 1 in 3 Americans think that they could strike it rich one day, according to new research. They said 33% feel that they have a great idea that they think could make waves in the market. I'm glad that people think that. I want them to think that, because that's what makes America awesome, is when you have people that have ideas and you see a need, you fill the need, and then you go from there. So that's awesome. They said 40% that currently holding on to a wealth-driving idea want to start a business. And they said that, I don't know, that's pretty optimistic. I like that. A Jack-in-the-Box employee was struck by a car over a missing chicken strip. Oh. Police were called to investigate. The guy's okay. It was in St. Louis. It was in our hometown, Kane. Yeah, of course it was. Stick with us. We got more to come.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just over 100 days before an election, Democrat Party bosses forced Joe Biden off the ballot. They invalidated the votes of more than 14 million Americans who went through the small d Democratic process and chose their nominee for president. The self-proclaimed party of democracy can't claim to be that anymore because they just steamrolled democracy and made a decision in a back room.
Yep. So I completely agree with that. I think that that's a message that Republicans need to hammer more and more. People were disenfranchised. They voted for the nominee. They didn't get the nominee they voted for. And the party elites picked it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We are at the bottom of this third hour. Netanyahu's addressing Congress right now. And I saw, Rashida Tlaib made a bunch of signs and she's sitting in Congress. She's sitting there being about, she's just being disruptive. You know, she's an anti-Semite. She's a raging terror supporting anti-Semite. And then, of course, you have the protesters, etc. They got into the Watergate Hotel where Netanyahu was staying and they were pulling the fire alarms and dumping maggots everywhere. Netanyahu and the Israeli delegation were staying at the Watergate Hotel. And they had, they had protesters. It got apparently very messy. Protesters, you know, targeted them at the Watergate Hotel. They threw feces at Israeli delegates that arrived. They were apparently, I don't know, some people said that they got, they were able to like get inside. They released maggots. I don't know where they, you know, put them. They said they put maggots everywhere. That's insane. Do you think you're going to see any kind of, arrests and, prosecutions that come from any kind of detainment? And then there's a bunch of them that are protesting out in the streets. And I made the remark to Kane on break. Why are they always like chonky and ugly? All these protesters are always chonky and ugly. And there's never any hot protesters ever. They're all. Ugh. And then you have some who are actually in Congress, like Tlaib, that are holding up signs saying war criminal. And then apparently, I was pulling this up real quick. I guess Anna Paulina Luna sat next to Tlaib just now. Nice. And she's got her war criminal sign. What do you think's going to happen there? Yeah, they released maggots and crickets at the Watergate Hotel. Mm-hmm. It was the fake name Palestinian, because it's not a real thing. Youth movements, they took credit for it. Like grown adults, though. And they got in anti-Israel, pro-Hamas supporters. They released maggots and crickets, a table full of mealworms. And I don't know where they actually put them at, but okay. And they said there's going to be no peace, there will be no rest until the war criminals arrest. That's what they'd said. What do you mean, Hamas? The Hamas that killed babies and children, kidnapped them, and raped women to death? Hamas? Because nobody cares. And then you have, like, Code Pink, those old bitches. I mean, it's crazy that they're still around. They're out there protesting. They have fences up outside of the hotel now, apparently. They have 1,000 protesters. Only 1,000. They have 1,000 protesters. They are gathered on Pennsylvania Avenue near the Capitol building. They're upset because Netanyahu's in town. So, I don't know. These people forget who started it. This is why people say war is hell. Again, I'll remind, war is hell. That's why you don't want it. But if someone demands that there's no other way, then you bring it to them. And you don't let up until they're destroyed. Hamas has to be destroyed. We're not doing any of that. Yeah, My friend Steven said this is the hockey equivalent of a player switching wing positions for a fight. That because Representative Anna Paulina Luna got sent next to Tlaib. She's got a sign that says war criminal. I'm watching this one. Keep an eye on this one. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, keep an eye on that one. Yeah, so I don't know. She's there just to be disruptive. And, I guess they're mad because it's not Zelensky and they can't launder money. They're there. I don't know. So, and it's amazing who stands up and applauds when he talks about the war crimes of Hamas and who doesn't. So whenever he mentions, apparently, whenever not Netanyahu in his speech, when he's mentioning the fact that, yes, Hamas did, they raped dudes and chicks, raped women to death, sliced off parts of their body, threw them on the roadside. And when he's saying that, you know, when he's condemning that and people are applauding the condemnation of it, a ton of Democrats stay seated. They stayed in their seats for that. What? They will not condemn. I mean, it's in some of the eye rolls and everything else, and the people, some of the people who just stay seated, they can't, you know, good heavens. That's so sick. But yeah, calling somebody a war. Hamas is the war criminal. Hamas should be wiped off the face of the earth in the most painful way possible. They should be smushed out like the bugs they are, because that's what Hamas is. And the people who support them are supporting terror and rape as a tool of genocide and all of that. So I don't have anything nice to say. I don't have anything that is FCC compliant to say. You have to out-brutalize bad, brutal people. I'm totally fine with that. I think Hamas should be publicly flayed. Oh, I absolutely do. I think that they should be drawn and quartered, and they should be publicly flayed as a lesson to every other terrorist that wants to attack innocent people, rape women to death, and butcher babies. So, and that's just the start of what I would like to see happen. And that's all I'll say about that. We're going to move on. It's just disgusting to see people make excuses for murderous terrorist rampages. It disgusts me. And for lawmakers to hold up signs like war criminal. I mean, you know, Tlaib can't even read. What the hell? Does she even know what's on her sign? I mean, these Hamas apologists. Good grief. Is it a ping pong paddle that she's holding up?
It looks like it. It's like one of those ones you hold up when you're at an auction.
This is already becoming a meme. Someone goes, when I go to Arby's and they tell me they're out of curly fries, and it's a picture of her holding up the sign that says war criminal. I'm going to use this for something. I'm going to actually save this because I'm just going to, if you do something dumb like this, you should be made fun of. There you go. All right. Yeah, he had talked about the 39 Americans that were also included in the attacks and the hostages that they were still, that Hamas, American hostages that Hamas was still holding. Democrats all stay seated for it. Wow. Just saying. That's who the Democrat Party is. This is who they are now. This is not just a segment of that party. There's a reason why Harris refused to be there to preside over the Senate, as is her job as vice president. Because she agrees with Rashida Tlaib. They co-sign all of this stuff. They hate Israel. They don't just hate Israel. They don't like Jewish people. Oh, and there is no difference with these people on the left. Now, the people who are smart and say, well, I don't like these policies that Netanyahu has, they're very smart when they talk about it. They don't just like rant about Jewish people. They talk about, well, I don't like these particular policies that, you know, Netanyahu has taken or this minister has undertaken, etc. And they're intelligent, smart people, and they can actually articulate what they dislike about what their government is doing, which is separate from the Jews. That's what you will hear from the left all the time. And when you can't even bring yourself to condemn Hamas, as a number of Democrats are doing right now by their refusal to even just applaud the condemnation of terror. Good. Yeah, they said some of them, Netanyahu said some of the protesters hold up signs saying gays for Gaza. They might as well hold up signs saying chickens for KFC. It's true. That is absolutely true. So it's just she's skirting. Harris is not even fulfilling her duty as president of the Senate to oversee, to sit there as president of the Senate while someone is speaking to a joint session. That's shameful. But that tells you where the Democrat Party is. That's who this party is now. Democrats can no longer say, oh, it's not the squad wing. It's not the Ilhan Omar wing. It's not the AOC wing. It's not the Dearbornistan wing. That is the whole party now. Their entire position with foreign policy has shifted. They are War Inc. anti-Israel. They are desperate. They think they're going to go over there and fight Russia. And they want to launder money through Ukraine. And they want to completely side with Iran, which is weird. Like, you don't like Russia, but I don't get it. It's weird. I don't know. And they this is a, it's a dangerous time, a very dangerous time. There's another story too that I have an eye on that were, well, a couple of other stories, because we're following all the latest with Secret Service as well. And there's also this story that's coming out about how there is, there's a classified letter over at Red State. CENTCOM Commander Carrilla had warned Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin that the missions that they have, the U.S. military's mission to keep the Red Sea open for commercial traffic, are, quote, failing. That seems like that's a significant story. It was over at the Wall Street Journal. Because Russia keeps arming the Houthis, and the Houthis, as you know, are a subset. It's, they're basically, they're, well, not basically, they're controlled, they're controlled by Iran. A U.S. commander sent this confidential letter warning that the U.S. was failing to deter these attacks on commercial shipping in the Red Sea. Now, they said, Red State notes that unlike a majority of these other military commanders, Carrilla, who's one of the few true to actually get in and bypass the corporatism and reach the upper ranks, because, you know, normally, you know, the warfighters are not the ones that get up there. He was very truthful about it. He said in his letter he wanted a stepped up whole of government effort regarding the Houthis to discourage attacks on ships in the Red Sea and the narrow strait off of Yemen's coast. And that goes out around the Horn of Africa and then out into the sea. 30 ships have been damaged. Two have sunk. CENTCOM say they can't prevent the Houthis from threatening commercial shipping totally because they don't have the approval to carry out a broader range of strikes. So apparently we're getting our asses kicked in the Red Sea, because we don't have any kind of foreign policy direction. And Red State had noted that the Israeli Air Force did more to establish dominance over the Houthis with one airstrike than the United States has done in a year and a half of whatever efforts that we're doing for this maritime route. So this is a major issue. Think of, first off, that it becomes a national security issue when you consider oil and gas. If we're disallowed from doing it on our own, then we have to get it from elsewhere. That's the route through which it goes. And we're not doing anything to help protect that or to help protect the commercial maritime route of other ships. It's a national security issue for us. And the Wall Street Journal is hinting as to whether or not Biden's going to be leaving office with another military disaster the same way that he took office with Afghanistan. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. There's a lot here. We're going to get into coming up this week also the AI race. This is a fascinating piece. It's over at CNBC. It says the U.S. will fall behind in the AI race without natural gas. You have to have natural gas.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Red flag laws, universal background checks, and an assault weapons ban.
No, you won't. You're not going to do a damn thing. And because it's unconstitutional, unconstitutional, and unconstitutional. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Towards the end of this third hour. Harris is just doing that because she doesn't have anything else to go for. She's got to run on abortion and gun control, because there is literally nothing else this woman can run on. She can't run on the economy. She can't run on the border, Kane. That would be disastrous if this woman tried to run on the border. She can't do any. No.
Then she'd have to admit she was border czar. Can't have that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I can't. I'm telling you what. Make sure you go and sign up at Substack if you're not a subscriber already. Chapter and verse. A lot of good stuff out there, including the latest and separating fact from fiction on the attempted assassination of President Trump as well. We got everything covered up there. And of course, you know, the president's speaking tonight, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, his first address. I don't think it's going to be live. And then Kane is, what's going to happen is when it airs, because I don't think it'll be live, Kane is going to immediately text me about the jump cuts, how it's a face mask, and whether or not I think the guy impersonating him is good or not.
I think they've had a Biden body double for so long that we just are like, hey, that's Biden. And I think we're just going to be all convinced about it. But no, it won't be live.
No, it's not going to be live. Oh my gosh, no way. They're not going to risk that. No, they've got to make him look strong and capable. And he also has to not look mad. I think that's important for Democrats, that he doesn't look mad, because I think he's because he is a mean dude. He's not like an easygoing pawpaw kind of guy. He's a mean dude. He always has been. And when mean people get older, they get like meaner. And you know he's, I mean, just look at his dogs and his kids and right. his whole life. It's miserable. He's just meaner. So I'm going to be fascinated to see if he's mean. Kane's just going to like be fascinated to see if it's actually him.
I'm just going to look at behavior cues. You know how it is. You're like into the body language stuff. I'm going to be looking a lot at that. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll exactly.
I'm reserving judgment.
Exactly.
Hoping for the best.
Oh, man, I tell you what. All right, today in stupidity.
All came. Right. Well, looks like Rep. Jayapal makes it. Let's do, and this is cut 10, Juan. This is her claiming that it's Republicans that's been calling Kamala Harris a DEI hire. Listen to this.
Does anyone even know what DEI is? If that's all they've got, well, we're going to win in November.
It's not. It's never anything we had. It's something that Republicans didn't say. It's literally what Democrats called her.
Yeah, completely.
Joe Biden himself.
He said it in an interview. He said it in a speech. He wrote it on the White House website. Watch for a piece on
May
that
of 2021.
Coming up over at Substack.
And then not even 2 weeks ago, he said, I know what a black job is. It's vice president.
That's what he's talking about. Folks, that does it for us today. And make sure you go find us over at Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. I will be back on air with you tomorrow. Catch me on Fox Business this afternoon and Fox later tonight.